And what the president, obviously I think he should go back through Congress to, these sanctions are in statute, but I know what this president will do in his really, I think, abusive interpretation of the Constitution is to use, quote-unquote, his prosecutorial discretion in terms of the executive and their requirement to enforce laws and not enforce certain laws like certain elements of the sanctions that have been imposed, you know, as part of that agreement. I certainly think that's wrong, and I think certainly as a separate issue worthy of discussion, that I think this country is in a constitutional crisis because of this president's ability or abuse of waving the so-called magic wand of this prosecutorial discretion and basically creating law by not enforcing existing law, creating new law by not enforcing existing law without going through Congress, a co-equal branch of government.
I want to ask you about that, and we're going to come back to Iran, but I want to follow this line of thinking because one of my great frustrations with the Republicans right now in D.C. is that there doesn't seem to be a concerted effort to push back against these exact constitutional abuses that you're talking about. Do you even, I mean, is this something that comes up in the caucus about what if there is any strategy? There has to be some way to tell the president of the United States that he cannot just on a whim choose to enforce or not enforce pieces of legislation that have been created by the Congress.
My office is engaged in the legal research right now.
Okay.
Of how do we take on the administration? Is there? It appears right now that we may have to do it. That I may have to do it, or somebody may have to do it as an individual outside of the Congress to litigate on one of these issues. The constitutionality, and I think that you can litigate on one of them and establish a precedent that impacts all of them. I mean, this president has overturned the 1996 welfare reform by simply saying that through an executive order that some of the requirements that states were supposed to do or are supposed to do under the Welfare Reform Act, the 1996 Welfare Reform Act, passed by the Congress, signed by President Clinton, were discretionary to the state governors or to the states, which is not true. That's not in the statute doesn't provide for discretion. There are work requirements that are associated with welfare reform that weren't discretionary. And yet this president did that through executive order. He's done a lot, you know, the Obamacare, which you've been discussing, you had a great discussion so far this morning on Obamacare. He has taken key parts of Obamacare and merely deferred them for political reasons after this election. The employer mandate, a number of other issues in Obamacare, where I certainly don't see where he has the discretion to do that in the law, and without going back through Congress to amend the law. So, I mean, it's gotten out, totally out of control. And if it is allowed to continue, it will really erode the founding principles of this country constitutionally in terms of the Congress of the United States and the executive branch being co-equal branches of government.
Well, and the part about this, and I'll reference the filibuster action that was taken by the Democrats last week to change the rules of filibuster. You know, that's fantastic, and we can all stand around and be outraged, but it seems like people are forgetting they won't always be in charge. And I really wish that Democrats would be able to put this shoe on the other foot and say, what if this was a Republican president who you disagreed with every facet of what he or she was doing? You know, you certainly would stand up and fight against this kind of constitutional power grab that is happening right now, or unconstitutional power grab. And it's amazing to me how that gets lost in the political back and forth that eventually, at some point, your guy's not going to be in charge anymore.
Well, I think it's stunning to, the United States Senate, designed by our founding fathers of the Constitution, was set up to be the more deliberative body that it would, in fact, given that cloture rule was to require bipartisanship, did not one party simply have a monopoly of power. And I think that, and when people complain, particularly the president, and you often hear, I think, more liberal commentators complain about the gridlock in Washington, D.C., or the inability for bipartisanship to occur, and they try to blame Republicans. Well, my gosh, look at this. This negates the requirement for bipartisanship by doing away with that 60-vote requirement to bring those nominations by the executive branch to the floor of the Senate. So, you know, it's certainly disappointing.